There is no stopping us. That's right. It's Double Bill Wednesday. We've already given you the Olympiacos Arsenal preview show. And right now we shift into one of our favorite gears of the week. It's time for Kevin Says. Get ready, everyone. Good evening, fight fans, and welcome back to the second of our Wednesday double here on the Highbury Squad. Joining me once again is Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Yep. Listen, loving the double header. Loving the double header.
Listen, if the players have to do two-a-days during COVID, I was thinking, all right, let's up the ante on the lockdown series. This is episode 45, Michael Jordan's second number shirt, Kev, when he came back out of retirement.
Very true.
So we like this number. And, you know, there's nothing like a Kevin Says week. So let's pile it on. We're doing another double tomorrow and we're going to be doing them bi-monthly. So hope you guys are enjoying the double bill from the Highbury squad today. Right, let's get right into this. Lots to discuss, lots to talk about. It's getting to that time of the season, Kev, where it's, dare I say, squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
We've got a massive game tomorrow. So here we go with Kev Says Part 1. Get ready, you guys, with your quotes, your tweets, your opinions, your questions. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. This is Kev Says Part 21. And there's a few questions I want to ask. We're going to do the usual format of two questions and a bonus. And these are going to be straight, direct, and we could get busy in the chat. So question one, can Arsenal win the Europa League?
Wow. This is the $64 million question. And I think at this point, we're through to the last, is this the 16 now? It's not the quarterfinals, right?
It's the 16, yeah.
Yeah. We just had a very engaging conversation with Antonis Solis from, he's the chief editor at Gazeta.gr, follows Olympiacos all the time, is at training, travels around the country with them when they're playing in the Greek league and the team. And those insights were really fascinating, weren't they, Kev? I mean, he doesn't think they have as good a squad as they did last season in Europe. But he still thinks they have as good a squad to damage us. So
he thinks they have a chance, and he was very detailed in what he said, which was brilliant.
Yeah,
you know, to hear him speak about certain players and how they play, etc. So it was a good one. Anybody who didn't listen to it, check it out when you can.
Go check it out, because he mentioned Tsimikas, who went on to Liverpool. He talked about the wing backs. He talked about how they had to adapt and how they've changed, and like the back line haven't always played together this season due to injuries and other and new players coming in January. I think three new players coming in. So they're still trying to integrate and ingrain themselves. So you asked the right question at the right time for me, Kev. And I'm going to start going down the listener line. Good evening to everyone who's joining us for the doubleheader. Well done, BX Gunner. Boom. Listen, if the players can do two-a-days during COVID, like I said, we can do two-a-days on the podcast. Right. Alcarp says, of course we can. All right. Well, embellish on that. Why? Nana Badu, it's going to be difficult. I agree. Kev, there are some good teams in the Europa League this season.
Listen, there are some really good teams. Let's be brutally honest. There are some really good teams still in the competition.
There are, including English teams, which I think we're going to want to avoid until the very latter stages. I don't care what anyone says. There's a different dynamic when you play a team from the same country in the knockout stages. Now, here's the scoop with Emma. Yes, we can. We can beat anyone on our day. I think this is true. And I think this is very valid in the sense that we still don't know which Arsenal is going to show up on any given day, because we've lacked that consistency, Kev.
That's why I asked the question, Sophie, because we know this squad should be doing a lot better in the league and in the Europa. We should, the truth of the matter is, we shouldn't just be beating Benfica. You know what I mean? Just getting over the line. We were better than them, but because of our inconsistencies and the mistakes in us, games are a lot tighter for us.
This is a great point, because our good friend of the show, Newman, kind of reiterates what you're saying. We can, but we won't. Too many dimwits who cock up on the regular and they get worse under pressure. Again, he's saying it in a harsh way, but what he's saying, right?
Harsh, but fair, Newman. And listen, respect to you for that. It's Arsenal's problem is, Sophie, exactly what Newman said. Can we? Yes, of course we can. But you know what? In order for us to do it, we have to cut out the silly mistakes. We have to cut out the basic problems that we cause ourselves. And I know there was a lot of people on Saturday, for instance, saying Leno shouldn't have passed the ball to Xhaka there. But this is what professional football is. If you watched us play, you would know balls get rolled into Xhaka, Partey all the time with people on their back, and that they are good enough to shift the ball first time. But the problem with Xhaka, I don't know why he took a touch, but as soon as he takes a touch, that kills it. That kills him, and that kills that passing sequence. So we have to cut these small things, but they're big things when we make the mistake.
So I'm going to get to that, because it's one of your next points. So I'm going to save a little bit on the mistake front. I want you to answer this as a player too. There's certain games where you may think it's going your way, isn't going your way, but Lady Luck is on your side. Life is about luck too sometimes, Kev. It's about being in the right time, the right place to take opportunities that come your way. What's your thought on Lady Luck and how much it plays in competitions, cup competitions especially?
Yeah, Lady Luck will smile on you once or twice in a cup competition. But Lady Luck won't make you win it. You have to beat teams in order to win cup competitions. So, listen, I'll be honest with you. If we got to the final and Lady Luck showed up and won, there was a melee in the box and the ball went in off the backside of Aubameyang, I'll be happy. And we win the game 1-0. Lady Luck could show up like that for me. But in the course of a tournament and you play two legs, Sophie, you have to perform. You have to defend. You have to score goals. You have to create. You have to be a team. You're going to come under some pressure. If Lady Luck wants to show up once or twice, brilliant. But Lady Luck won't show up all the time to bail you out, that's for sure. And that's why we have to get better. We have to start progressing.
Okay. Maryland Guna Braithwaite says, the favourites for Europa League are Man United, Spurs, and then Arsenal. I mean, I would argue that Milan want to have a say in this. Obviously, they've got to get past United. Ian says, our biggest opposition is ourselves. And I think we'll delve into that a little bit more with your second question. Peter West says, as some people have commented, we can beat anyone on our day. Our day, though, doesn't come around as often as it used to.
Peter, that is a good one. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. And you know why it doesn't come around? Because I don't think it's the commitment. I think it's you made a really good comment, Sophie, on Saturday about the concentration. They can't concentrate for the duration of the game.
Yep. And it's a problem.
It's a huge problem in football, because the opposition are waiting for you to lapse. As soon as you lapse, you tend to find the opposition go straight in at you. Let alone give them a free one. We can't do that. We're not good enough to do that.
No, we're not. And Cash says, we're a classic cup side. We've talked about it a lot, haven't we, Kev, that we're still a cup team versus a Premier League team. Arteta hasn't really built a Premier League team yet. On our day, beating or losing to anyone doesn't surprise me. And I think that's the thing with Arsenal fans is if we lose to Olympiacos, God forbid, fans won't be surprised. If we win, they also won't be surprised. It's a Jekyll and Hyde situation.
Yeah, it is. And for me, Sophie, when I look at this Arsenal team, we can, of course, and I'm going to get to it at the end, obviously. Of course we can win it. All we need is certain players to turn up.
Mm-hmm.
But our problem is the certain players that we need to turn up haven't turned up for most of the season so far. We've seen performances here and there, especially in the first half of the season. We were poor. Obviously, we've improved, but we've not got to that point yet. And I'm hoping we can steadily improve because there's a saying in football, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yeah.
And if we could finish strong, gives us a chance.
Let's see, Christoph, play well and if better quality squads are not on it when they plan play the Arsenal, I think he means there, it's certainly doable. Which Arsenal will show up and the senior players have to be up for it? I question them. So Kev, Christoph, I think brings up a great point because one of your other questions that's coming has to do with a young player and they've relied on these young players for a long portion of the season. You've talked about this a lot, Kev, the senior players, now's the time to show up or shut up, is it not?
Yeah, well, listen, we've discussed this many times. The senior players have let the manager down. That is categorically 100% correct. They have, because Arsenal Football Club shouldn't be relying on a 19-year-old. Rupert says it there, and he's right. Saka has carried the team most of the seasons with some help from Smith Rowe and a cameo appearances from Martinelli, but mostly it's been Saka. Aubameyang's starting to turn up finally. Pepe starting to show a bit of form. Xhaka has played better with Partey at times. But where's the consistency? Where's the consistency that says, Saka, you could rely on us? Because Saka should be relying on the experienced players.
Right.
But he can't because he's having to do the heavy lifting. Right. So it really is a problem for us. And that's why Mikel Arteta cannot get to the summer quick enough, because this team needs to resemble what he wants.
And also, Kev, it's the senior players making a lot of the major mistakes in the games. And we saw that against Burnley, right? Xhaka, Leno, collectively, you know, that was a debacle. Yes, Saka missed a shot in that game. He should have buried that. But again, can we forgive him, even though we want to also be fair to all the players, but can we forgive him because he's been such a saviour for most of the season?
Yeah, do you know, Sophie, I honestly think with Saka, we're all realistic. We know he's done fantastically well, but, you know, you missed the chance and we said he should have buried that. But we're not gonna put him on the rack because he missed the chance. The fact of the matter is he wasn't at his normal level. And you're going to get that. He's 19 years old. You know, we're going to get performances like that from Saka at times.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I wanted to get to this comment before we play the next stuff, because it all falls into what a lot of the guys are saying. And I'm going to go back to some of the comments, Kev. But do you agree with Johnny Boy here? Good evening, Johnny Boy. Thanks for joining us again. Do you agree the heat is off us? I feel like the heat is on us in Europa League.
Well, it's how you look at it, Sophie. So, we're the favourites against Olympiacos. But moving, if we can move forward, like we say, we probably are not the favourites for the Europa League. So, being Arsenal, that's pressure in itself, Sophie. But when you're playing against somebody who they're saying they're going to beat you, that plays into the underdog hands, because Just like in the FA Cup last year, we play Sheffield United and we weren't playing well. We beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that we weren't favourites, but we weren't playing well at the time. Then we go on to play Man City and everyone thought, oh, City are going to wipe the floor with Arsenal. We end up beating them. And then in the final, Chelsea, we end up doing Chelsea in the final and they were the favourites. So that underdog mentality kind of galvanised the group.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it again? And we need to get in a position for them to do it again, possibly. But we're favourites against Olympiacos, that's for sure. And we fluffed our lines last season.
We did.
We fluffed them big time. So,
and Arteta's really spoken a lot about how that loss really hurt. And Aubameyang is also going to have some demons he needs to
exercise.
Having missed a glaring chance to eliminate that away goal would have just been, you know, such an easy finish, and it wasn't. And we've talked about, I was there that night. It was brutal. The whole thing was, and their fans are kicking off and everything, but it's not going to be easy. They're very tenacious. The Greeks are not going to give up without a fight. And being Greek, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some shithousery too. They're very clever. You know,
Sophie, let me tell you.
You played in Turkey, kid.
Listen, let me just tell you this. They want some of the best at it.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, they are some of the best at it. But again, Sophie, when you play Arsenal, you get the best.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these players you think, oh, you know, they're not. They will be at the top of their game to beat Arsenal because it's a scalp and a half. This is the stuff. When, do you know, somebody said to me today, when we beat Arsenal, it's something I could tell the grandkids.
Yeah.
Imagine that, Sophie. All their career, they don't beat Arsenal. They beat Arsenal once. It's something I could tell my grandkids. That's what it means for teams to beat Arsenal. It means a lot.
It does.
And you know, when you make the comparison about David Moyes at West Ham and this one there and that one, it's not the same. Playing at West Ham and playing at Arsenal, it wells apart, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. It is wells apart.
Well, I mean, it's true, and it's true in kind of everyday life stuff and everything. You know, you find yourself in situations where, I mean, there's a big difference between staying at the roadside motel and staying at the Four Seasons. Oh, I've arrived. I'm at the Four Seasons, right? When you're at Arsenal and you're playing
you're
Arsenal.
At the Savoy.
You know,
you're at the Savoy.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly. So, listen, I'm going to get into the second piece of Kev Says because, as I said, there are a lot of our listeners who are dovetailing it mm-hmm. with the first question. So, here we go. Kevin Says, part two.
Question two. Can Arsenal stop making costly mistakes? I know I'm generalizing, and I'm sure we're going to get into it with certain players, etc., etc. But can they stop making costly mistakes?
This is the $64 million question. And this is and has become our Achilles heel. Games against, I don't know, you could argue Wolves, Burnley,
Man City
this season. You know, I would say over and over again, as much
Burnley
as we've
been, twice.
Burnley
forget.
Twice and Villa twice, Wolves twice, you know, Leicester, the Jamie Vardy goal at the end at the Emirates, brutal, again, you know, lack of concentration. Here's one that goes back to what you were saying, Kev, because I wanted to bring in Lelitia's comment here. Casey, is it better for concentration if playing time is managed for players to avoid too much fatigue? So we're going to get to that with one player, but is this why mistakes are happening, Kev? Fatigue, or is it just mental impotence, like I've said before on the show?
No, there's no excuses for mental fatigue. In fact, what fatigue will do, it actually focuses you more. Because when you are tired and you're on the pitch, that's when your organization gets you through. That's why a lot of the time in extra time, there ain't many goals scored a lot of the time. Because everyone is has to be on it mentally. You may not have the physical capacity like you had at the start of the game, but mentally, the concentration has to be there because one mistake is so costly. But at Arsenal, we seem to switch off in crazy times.
In the most inopportune times. And like Matty K says, they need to concentrate for 96 minutes. 96 minutes, finish the chances, and jobs are good. And I wanted to add this from Virginia as well, going back to some earlier comments, because leading on from your question, the issue of mistakes has come up. And I think this is everyone's biggest fear. And we asked Andonis on that Olympiacos preview too. Are Olympiacos susceptible to mistakes? And he tended to think not. Mm-hmm. And they to me seem like the type of team that will hunt down and sniff blood and mistakes, Kev.
If you let them.
And Virginia says, when you remove individual stupid mistakes, we have a chance to go all the way and win it. I don't think that's an exaggeration on Virginia's behalf.
It's not. It's actually a really good point, Virginia. And you've changed your photo, haven't you? You've changed your photo.
I noticed that.
No, listen. Individual errors is something that a manager cannot change. But do you know what he can change, Sophie? The player. He could change the player. Mm-hmm. Because if you work with somebody, Sophie, and they make the mistake twice, you're not going to get a third chance. You are not going to get a third chance because you're going to get somebody in who could do the job. And this is why I feel Mikel Arteta can't get to the summer transfer window quick enough. But there are still some business we've got to take care of. And he has to keep these, he has to try and keep these players engaged. He really does.
Are you saying then that despite Xhaka's mistake at the weekend against Burnley, there's no other choice but to start him against Olympiacos because there is no other alternative and you're willing, maybe he's willing to accept another mistake, or do you bring in someone like Elneny to play with Partey? Explain that to me based on what you just said.
Yeah, no, I think he trusts Xhaka a lot more with Partey in that midfield. They're a lot more solid. They play forward a lot better because they dovetail better. Because the balance, Xhaka being a lefty, Thomas Partey being a right footer, they seem to have struck a nice balance together. I'm not saying Elneny can't play with Partey. I think any one of the midfield could play with Partey because he's that good. But I just think for balance, Xhaka will play, I believe. Let's take the mistake away. Obviously, we know we can address that mistake because Xhaka's made the most mistakes out of anybody in his Arsenal career.
But in the Premier League.
But for these games, you go to your tried and tested and your strongest in your mind. Mm-hmm. And as fans, sometimes we say, "Yeah, Xhaka again. He shouldn't be picking Xhaka." But I think he trusts Xhaka with Partey.
What do you think about Ian's comment? Thanks, Virginia. Our biggest opposition is ourselves.
Well, this has been our problem for 16 years, a lot of the time, Sophie. Because a lot of the time you look at some of the squads we've had really good squads. But they haven't played to the level that we expect them to. So, you know, there's always a big saying that George Graham used to say, you know, whenever we didn't play well, we snuck a 1-0 win, Sophie. We snuck a 1-0 win and the fans are happy because we won. He wouldn't spare us in the dressing room, let me tell you. He said, listen, what I want you guys to do, before you get in tomorrow, I want you to go home and look at yourself in the mirror. Because that isn't good enough for Arsenal Football Club. And that's in a win, Sophie.
Sir Alex Ferguson was like that too, wasn't he?
Yes.
And Manchester United, they could pull out games and win and play badly, but for him, it was still unacceptable.
Standards.
Right. Yeah. The
standards you set, they're not letting you fall behind it, whether you win or you lose.
Yeah. And I think this is important, Kev, because sometimes mistakes balance out when you take your chances. So it's more glaring when we don't take our chances. The mistakes are more glaring because we're not capitalizing as much on our chances this season. What do you think about this comment from Johnny Boy? Because I kind of tend to agree with it. It's you see it more when you don't capitalize on the other side.
Of course, it's magnified. Everything gets magnified because let's be honest, if Pepe had taken one of those chances, we would say, bloody Xhaka, you know, what, you can't make those mistakes, but hey, we won. Just like Ceballos, you know, he fouled the guy outside the box, great free kick, and then that back header against Benfica put us in the crap. We got out of it, and then everybody was surprised you can't do that. And then you move on quickly because you win the game.
Right.
But when you don't win, that's why it feels like a loss, Sophie. That's why it was hurting you big time Saturday. And I know.
And I kept saying that we lost and we didn't. But in my mind, it felt that way.
It feels like a loss, and it does, because it seems as though we're imploding on ourselves, which isn't good for Arsenal, and it's not good for us fans, I tell you.
Because, and I want you to answer this, you always do your review at the end, but one of the things I want you to be thinking about is how we fix these mistakes. To me, it's got to be part of on the training pitch, but we're going to get to that at the end of the show with you. Zamir, he doesn't think that we can eliminate the mistakes unless we get rid of the players that make those mistakes, and they'll keep making them. David Luiz, Xhaka must go. Yet for Arteta, Luiz, a year extended, leadership, qualities, Xhaka, leadership qualities. Even today, Socrates Babasadopoulos in his interview with Football London talked about Xhaka's leadership skills and being a leader in the team. It's a little bit different. And Alcarp adds on to that. It will, if we get rid of the deadwood, Xhaka, Bellerin, David Luiz. Same for a lot of these listeners. Arteta needs to drop Xhaka, Bellerin. You think Bellerin might score, might play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Same names coming up, Kev. What do you say to the listeners who are pointing out the same players?
Yeah, look, I agree. I just think for us to step up to that next level, we need better players. 100% we do need better players in and around that squad. I think Thomas Partey needs a partner in that midfield. And we need, obviously, a better right back. Because I think Bellerin does a certain job, but if we're going to go to that next level, Sophie, we need a better defender who doesn't ball watch. That's for sure.
Yeah,
and we need a right back, not only who can defend, but one who's going to be a problem going forward.
I have an interesting question for you here from Stephen. By the way, I think Stephen Shillingford's comment is we had a week off and we still didn't come back like mentally tuned in and strong. But Stephen Foote's question, Kev, are we still playing with fear of making crucial mistakes, not necessarily bad concentration or concentration? I think it's a good question. Do we play with fear still?
No, I don't think so. I don't think if you're going to be going on a football pitch thinking you're fearful of making a mistake, your game's going to fall apart, because playing with fear and it affecting you like that, you just can't do it. When you go across that white line, you have all the positives have to be in place, because this is why you train. This is what the training's for. The training is to prepare you for the game. And when you get across that white line, you've done all the prep work. You know what you need to do. So you just got to execute. And that's our problem, Sophie, is execution. If I'm a defender and a cross is coming in, I have to know where my striker is. I can't just make a move somewhere and I don't know where the striker is. The ball comes over and Raheem Sterling, who's the smallest forward, heads it in our net for Manchester City. Do you understand what I mean? You've got to know where people are. You've got to know your environment. And that is just a little look around to know what's what. Cross comes in, one step, and he never scores. But the problem is you're out of position.
Yeah. I think this is an interesting comment from Stephen Paul. By the way, are you Stephen Paul, who was in Neighbours, played Paul Robinson? Was that his name? Made a couple hits back in the day in the 90s that were a bit dodgy. I like this comment. Making a mistake is human, Making the same mistakes over and over is stupid. And I think that's, you know, we talked about Ødegaard being super smart, you know, two steps ahead, clever footballer, smart footballer. Bruno Fernandes, look what he's bought. He's brought a football intelligence to Manchester United, made other players better around him. I don't think Ødegaard's had that impact yet, but maybe over a period of time he can. Kev, what do you think about this comment from Stefan?
Yeah, listen, making mistakes, everybody will make a mistake, but it's in football, it's where you make the mistake. If you make a mistake in your own box, you're in trouble. You are in trouble, that's for sure. And we seem to be making mistakes in our own box. I wouldn't mind if Xhaka was making the mistake on the halfway line, Sof. I wouldn't mind that. He can make the mistake there, and then we know they've got 60 yards to travel to try and get to our goal. But when you make the mistake inside the box and your pass, your misplaced pass hits their strike and goes in your net, something's not right. It's not right.
Yeah, this comment from James kind of underlined what I was saying, in the sense that when you don't take your chances, the mistakes become more glaring. But I like the second half of his comment here, Kev. You, having been in the game for so long, you've got to get over the ref decisions. You've got to be mentally strong enough to overcome those battles. And he's saying the same goes with the conspiracy about the refs and Arsenal. What do you think of that? Because so many fans keep talking about this conspiracy. Do I think the media pick on us a little bit? Yes. But do I think there's a conspiracy in officiating against Arsenal? That's a really big tag that we're throwing on the officials.
Yeah, it's a big tag, but it's one that you can say we haven't had the rub of the green. The lady luck hasn't been with us when it comes to some of those decisions, because you see Liverpool get them, you see Man United get them, you see other teams get them, and then when it comes to Arsenal, we don't get them. So it's a valid question. Why are we not getting these decisions? Because the decisions, when it goes for the other team, tends to go against us. So,
Kev, do you think it's because a lot more players, and I like the do your job, because it's very Bill Belichick, James, by the way, you reference Sexy Beast. But Kev, do you think it's because our players don't complain enough, that we're too nice? So many other teams, you see, like Chelsea players for years, Man United players for years, City players, everyone like crowding the referee, putting pressure on him, managers saying things in press conferences that maybe push officials to think about things twice. Is it because we're too polite? Look what happened to me in the Chelsea game with United, and Solskjaer and Luke Shaw came out and took a risk to talk about the officials, and yet we didn't say anything and weren't strong enough, I don't think, with our battle.
The manager did say something after the game,
but not in the same manner as...
No, but again, it's you maybe not do it in the same way. I think, and think about it, everybody in chat. This is a well-known fact of football. The better you're doing, you get the decisions. The higher in the table you are, you see Man City get decisions. You see Man United. You see Liverpool get the decisions. We're wallowing. We don't get the decisions. And why? When really the officiating needs to be consistent. But it's so inconsistent, it's embarrassing sometimes. But you can't pin it on the ref. The referee, it's not his fault sometimes. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But do you know what, Sophie? It's our job to take it out of the hands of the ref and VAR.
100%.
We've got to win that game on Saturday. We've got to win it.
Yeah.
And when you don't win it, then you start looking at, we could have had a penalty, but it's a bit of coulda, woulda, shoulda. We never got it.
And I think Alcarp's comment here, I think a lot of fans don't watch the other games in the Premier League because the officials have been poor in most of the games this season, just not Arsenal. Kev, I agree with this wholeheartedly. I know we've been hard done by, but there have been a lot of teams that have suffered. at the hands of VAR this season and some really poor officiating, the ineptitude of the VAR team sending referees to the monitor or the referee going to the monitor. These things that have happened have, I think, taken the sting out of the enjoyment of the game this season, but also in times when we expect VAR to make the right decisions, most teams have come a cropper this season with a bad decision here or there.
I mean, look at Leeds. Look at Leeds against West Ham the other night. Two perfectly good goals chalked off, and West Ham go on and win the game 2-0. You know, it is fine margin sometimes, and so what can you do? What can you do but be strong mentally and know we are going to win the game? And that's where the mental toughness side comes in, because we will not be denied. We are not going to let VAR dictate whether we win or not. We've got to make it happen. Arsenal nearly made it happen, but nearly isn't good enough for Arsenal. We've got to make it happen. We've got to win that game 2-1. And then we got to say, do you know what? It should have been 3-1 because of that penalty decision that wasn't given. We could have won because of the VAR.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think that we can be blaming the officials. And someone brought up the challenge on Icardi. I don't know if you saw it, Kev, in the Barcelona PSG game. Very similar to David Luiz and what happened in that Wolves game. And no red card, of course. And I think that's what drives fans nuts. The fact that it's consistently bad and has been this season. And so I think that's where Arsenal fans have a gripe. In the sense that we've seen a couple decisions go our way, but it's been really frustrating having to deal with some of the non-decisions. And I think the Burnley was just everyone reaching their end with regards to VAR this season. That was really difficult.
Yeah, when you look at the Icardi situation,
drives you nuts.
it does, because it's virtually the same thing. Yeah, he gets clipped and you're given a penalty. You could understand, because that's what it is now. You know, back in the day, that would never be a penalty. Now you make any contact in the box and virtually it's a penalty. But here's the crazy thing, Sophie. Mm-hmm. On the continent, they referee differently to how we referee. But here's the crazy thing. It's an English referee. Mm-hmm. In the PSG Barca game. And the English referee gives a yellow card and not a red.
And this is why a lot of fans are asking for maybe a change next season with regards to officiating. And Akeni, yeah, Kev just said it. English referee making that decision. Yeah. Anthony Taylor, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think this is going to be a very important discussion in the off-season, Kev, about how the league moves on from here, because we can't be doing this again next season. Okay, right. We're 38 minutes in. You're listening to Kevin Says. It's Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 45. You guys are smashing it tonight. 200 of you in live chat. Hit that like button for us. If it's your first time here, subscribe. It is our first of a double bill show day. We have another one tomorrow where we're going to talk a little bit about football and business and a new app that you guys maybe should look into.
We're going to have a chat room on there for sure.
Yes, we are. And then, of course, we'll be back for the post-game after the Olympiacos Europa League battle. We love you too, FIFA boy Darren. Good to see
nice
you.
Nice one, Darren. Hope you're well.
Chat. Hope you're well. Hope everyone's well. Right, Kev, here we go. This is the bonus question, and I think a very, very important one that ties a little bit of everything into this today. Here we go, you guys. Get ready. Question 3 from Kevin Says this week.
Question number 3 is, do you think it's time to rest Bukayo Saka? He's done a lot of heavy lifting in this team and he looked a little bit off it. You know, with that opportunity, etc., against Burnley. Maybe it's Burnley adjusting, etc., but he just didn't look himself. So the 3 questions are, can Arsenal win the Europa League? Question 1. Can Arsenal stop making costly mistakes? Question 2. And Is it time for Bukayo Saka to have a rest? Question three. I look forward to speaking to you and dealing with you and engaging with you in the chat. See you later. Kev says 21.
What I like about what Kev said there the most is I enjoy dealing with you.
Because you know what? We have to deal with some people that come up here, because you know what? We have a chat room.
It's very lively.
That are smart, but they're smart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's some guys like Newman who come up with some that a bit of brain power somewhere there, I'm telling you.
It's a bit outrageous, isn't he? Let's be honest.
So I've got to deal with it.
Yeah, I love the three questions this week. And someone who's just joining gave all their questions in one answer. Number one is no. Number two is no. And number three is no, let the boy play. Matty K wants to drop the neck.
Drop the neck. Drop the neck, man. Drop it.
You know, for me, here's the tough thing with Saka, and I think this is where a lot of us are at, right? I agree with you, Ian, not for this game. It's too important, and he's too important to leave out. I'm not thinking that Kev meant this particular game, but we can ask him, of course. Mm-hmm. Run with Cows says, yes, he looked leggy against Burnley, but he did have a rest. Everyone was off that week, let's be honest, though. No one really played that great against Burnley. John says, yes, yes, yes. Newman, we rested him against Leicester, and he was worse for it. Let's see, why? Well, we're talking about depth. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. So, Kev, my point to you is, and Johnny Boy says, ideally, yes, but when he's on fire, he's central to everything we do. Which brings me on to, how do you rest your best player?
Well, you have league games and you have Europa League. So from Burnley, we know from the Burnley game, we have, I think it's 4 games in 9 days or something like that. 4 games in a couple of weeks, okay?
Mm.
You have to pick your times where you're going to rest him. Although he's been our best player, what we can't do is burn this young man out. Because you know what, Soph? Here's the dangerous thing. We burn him out this season.
John agrees.
He may not recover properly for next season. I'm telling you. Because he goes to the Euros. He only has a short window of rest. And then he's back playing again. So that's why I fear for this young man. And I truly believe this is why some of the experienced players have to step up now and allow us to give him a rest.
What do you think about South London's finest? I know you love South London's finest, Super Kid.
South London. Yeah.
Can we afford
to... Yeah, we can do that.
What do you think about this?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that in the league. I think these European games are a bit, the tempo's a bit slower.
Mm.
So I think we could nurture him through the game. He could be fine in these games. But in the Premier League, that's more of the relentless, you know, that really pushes you. And I think we can keep him on the bench and at times just have him totally rested, not even in the squad at times. I really think so.
It's such a tough one. It's such a tough one.
But he's that good, so.
I know. But like you said, like Mike, our good friend at the Gooners podcast, had a show with Lewin, one of the Lewin brothers, brothers' cousins. They're cousins, right? And you look at players like Diaby, you look at players like Wilshire, you know, you look at certain players that have had injuries. And you heard Jack Wilshere's interview where he wished he had listened to players. You look at Fabregas, not so much on the injury front, but we played him and plugged him in, week out. He was young, made him captain. Some would argue that maybe, you know, he regressed at times because he was overplayed and he was tired. And I think, you know, this is the tricky situation. And Neilola here says, I think Saka isn't the kind of player you drop unless he's injured. As I've observed, he loses form whenever he misses a game or two for us. That week off, he seemed, is it possible to get too relaxed, Kev, as a player?
Well, maybe it's a bit of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a key part of being a professional. This is a key part where it's not like back in the day where, you know, you're playing, you've got your first 11 and you've got maybe three or four substitutes. You know, they've got a squad. It's not as if they can't pick a player to play there who hasn't got ability, because you could put Pepe there. You know, you could put Willian there. Not saying Willian's been great, but we've seen it where he was on the bench against Leicester, a tough game. We go a goal behind and they performed. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. We need players who are going to perform. And we need to be able to rest this young man. And he's going to have to be able to, at times, take breaks. It's all part of being a top player.
But maybe rest him. You can't rest Saka in the North London derby. You can't do that.
No,
right?
I'm not saying that you rest him in the North London. All I'm saying is it time for us to even have the plan of resting him? Mm-hmm. Because we know, look, every game is so important, Sophie. So really, we shouldn't be resting him. But we run the risk of harming him. That's all I'm saying.
So do you agree with Andy Love here that it's bad management by Arteta that we're even talking about resting Saka? Arteta needs to be more adventurous with his selections. In that, he means Martinelli. Is that fair?
No, I don't think it is, because, as I said previously, Arteta's been let down by the experienced players. If the experienced players were playing well, mm-hmm. It'd be easy to rest Saka. It'll be easy to do that. Our problem is, if it wasn't for Saka, who knows where we'd be? Let's be honest. Who knows where we'd be? So I think it's a plan has to be put in place where he gets rest. And I was pleased to see him rest against Leicester. But, you know, we've got some important games coming up, haven't we? So
we do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, we've got the two legs against Olympiacos. We've got Spurs. We've got West Ham. But then after that, we do start playing teams in the lower part of the Premier League.
Yeah.
And so if we continue on in Europa League, that's where I would split the difference with Saka. I'd make sure that he was ready to go for the Europa League. You know, it's an opportunity to win a trophy. It's our route back into the Champions League, not because we can win the Champions League or even compete at the highest level in the Champions League, but the money and what the financial rewards will do for us just to be back in that competition are huge. Mm. Either way, too, we still need European football next season, even if it's Europa League money, Kev.
Yeah.
Right. So there comes the juxtaposition of, well, in the Premier League, we still need to garner as many points as we can, just in case that Europa League basket, you know,
it doesn't materialize. And this is our problem, Sophie. This is why I'm constantly saying the experienced players need to turn up, because if the team is functioning correctly, then it's easy to take Koppel out and put Martinelli in and nurture him in. But unfortunately, you can't risk or Arteta feels he can't risk not playing Saka,
mm-hmm.
because he's been so influential. Whereas most of the experienced players haven't.
What do you think of Sire's comment here? Good business is not playing average players in the starting lineup week in, week out, but Arteta keeps playing average players in the starting lineup. That's why we're in 10th position right now. Is that a case of him playing average players, or the fact that we have average players that he needs to rely on?
Well, you have to ask Sire that. I mean, average players, who is he referring to? Because some of those average players are the best we got.
Which is shocking.
Which is why, as we keep saying, a lot this team needs a revamp, and it needs better players, not similar players. It needs better players to be recruited. You get better players in, then our level's going to go up.
Okay, 200 plus of you in live chat right now. Hit that like button for us. It just takes one click. And if you don't like us, that's cool too. We can still be friends. We end the show always on Kevin Says with Kevin answering his three questions. We are going to get to that now. And by the way, I just said hit the like button and someone hit the love button. That's how easy it is. Just one click away from sending love.
We love that. Hitting the love.
All right, KC, let's get the answer to your first question. Can the Arsenal win Europa League?
Yes, Arsenal could win the Europa League. What has to happen for us to win the Europa League is the experienced players have to produce. They have to turn up and they have to carry the likes of Bukayo Saka with the season he's been having and take him to the next level. We've seen that they can do it. We've seen them only in small chunks. We need a bigger sample size. We need a sustained, consistent performance to get us to where we need to. But we can do it, Sophie. I know we can do it.
This one, I'm interested to know what your take on it is. And can the Arsenal start eliminating these stupid mistakes?
No. And I say that in the best possible taste of answering your question, Sophie, and my question, because the same players keep making the same mistakes. They don't always make them. And when you actually look at us as a football club, some of our progress has been stunted because of mistakes. You know, we keep hearing about fine margins, Sophie. Yeah, the margins are fine. But when you keep shooting yourself in the foot, it's very difficult to run. You know what I mean? It's very difficult to climb when you shoot yourself in the foot. And that's what we keep doing. We keep shooting ourselves in the foot. Whether it's somebody ball watching or somebody pulling somebody down in the box or somebody not picking somebody up in the box or somebody trying to pass across the box and not doing it first time. Whatever way we look at it, These are the basics of football, Sophie. And if we don't get the basics right, we're in trouble.
Kev, can I ask you a question based on that, in the sense that, you know, when I'm managing a team and we're working away at stuff, we might miss our targets 1 month, but we're going to work our damnedest to figure out why we miss them. And we're going to hone in on those weaknesses to make sure that the same thing doesn't happen the following month.
Yeah.
Can I say that some of this is part of what happens on the training pitch every day in terms of eliminating mistakes and certain mistakes we keep seeing over and over? Is that a fair thing to say, or is it purely down to individual player errors?
Sophie, here's the dilemma. And for anybody listening or watching, here's the dilemma. What the coaching staff do after every game, Sophie, they break it down, okay? They break it down and look for any weaknesses that we might be showing that the players might have, and then you go on the training pitch to try and sort it out, okay? You go and you sort it out. But on the training pitch, Sophie, where's the pressure? There's no pressure on the training pitch. So on the training pitch, you get it. Yeah, I need to be there. I need to just tuck round. I need to not put my arm on his shoulder. I not need to pull him. On the training pitch is one thing. When you get into a game and you're under pressure, it's a totally different, get across that white line, it's a totally different game. And that's why it comes down to execution. Execution is everything. The best teams execute the best. And Arsenal, we've said we're weak sauce. We said we're not tough enough. We said we don't concentrate. That isn't because we don't put the work in on the training ground. That's because we don't execute on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. So it's more, so you're saying it's purely execution versus coaching and training and
Monday through. Because you can do it on the training pitch. I can guarantee you, Mikel Arteta will be pulling his hair out of some of the mistakes that they make. Because in training, I can guarantee you, Leno plays that ball into Xhaka 20, 30, 40 times. And Xhaka, one touch goes, boom, out to David Luiz. But so, in this game, he decides, for what reason, I don't know, to take a touch, Sophie.
Yeah, I've been in situations where, you know, you preach and you teach and someone goes out and they make a mistake. These things happen. You can't control everything. But when they happen over and over again, mentally something's not shifting. Is it because some of the really talented players who are mentally strong are surrounded by weakness? And when you talk about competition in training and stuff like that, is it still a bit too complacent, maybe, Kev, with some players?
100%. 100%. You see, listen, it's too nice. It's too nice.
Yeah. Even in training. It can't be nice in training. I mean, you've been...
It's too nice. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's too nice. It's too nice. Because what that Burnley goal, you don't take liberties by taking a touch, Sophie. Mm-hmm. Because you know you're marked. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a pro... When Leno's passing you that ball at that pace, it's to do it first time. It's not for you to take a touch because your touch is only going to put you under pressure because you're going to go back into the box.
It's just amazing how in that moment, and we've all been there in a moment where you make like such
split second.
Such an error. I'd like to get this answer from you as we go to your last question. What would Tony Adams say to a player when they made a mistake like Xhaka did against Burnley? And this is part of the leadership, you know, do you put your arm around them, give them a bollocking? How would that have gone?
No, well, all I could say is Tony might have said on the pitch, because what you don't do, hey, listen, keep your head. You know what I mean? He would have told him to keep his head because we've got to win this game. And when you win the game, after the game, you might have made a joke about it if you win the game. But if you don't win the game, Tony said, hey, listen, that never happens again because you know you got to do it first time. But it's not only Tony. There'd be other players, Rocky, Paul Davies, Michael. We'd all be saying, because you know what? That's what a squad does. Everybody holds you accountable. That is so important.
No, some of the responses he would have thrown him over the norm. It'd have kicked his ass all over.
If he kept making the mistake,
yeah,
he might have grabbed him by the neck, but he never had to do that.
Casey, don't let me get back to my Henny. That's hilarious. All right, so last one, Kev, and we'll get you out on this one. Is it time for Saka to have a rest?
Well, I think there has to be a plan to get him some game time off. But not in the next three games, that's for sure.
No.
Not in the next three games. After the next three games, then I could see potentially Saka getting a rest. But we're going to see. But we have to get him some rest, Soph. Yeah, brock the neck, GD. Brock the neck.
I think we do, Kev. And, you know, there's a high probability that he could end up also going to the Euros. And if that means he does that, he comes back, we miss out because he's going to have to rest before the new season starts. He's going to need time off. We see this happen all the time with international competitions, Kev. You get key players that need to have that rest time. And for me, that's where we kind of miss out. I'd rather he had the summer off, he chilled.
But Sophie, here's the thing. If our recruitment is right,
then it's a moot point.
If our recruitment is right, we could ease Saka back in nicely because the ones that are there are doing the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen, it's been another superb, Kevin says, three great questions, some brilliant comments and opinions from the squaddies in chat as well tonight, Kev. There's a brilliant. lot There's a lot that's going to happen in the next few weeks. We've got some really fundamentally important games coming up. Two London derbies, two legs against a very solid Greek team in Europa League that kicked us out last season. We're going to right that wrong. Yes. Thanks, John. Thank you to everyone, 240 plus in live chat for watching.
Fantastic.
Hit that like, people. We hope you've enjoyed the double-double today. Kev and I will be back tomorrow. We're going to have Peter Redding from the Football App come on and tell us a little bit about the future of football and how social is integrating with, you know, a new wave of currency that I'm sure some of you may have invested in already or not. And then we will also be back for the post-game show as well. Thank you to you guys. Without you, this show is not possible. And I can't begin to tell you how much we appreciate you, and thanks for embracing our double bill today. Until tomorrow, Kev, let the kids know.
Arsenal v Olympiacos, it's always got to be Arsenal. Come on, you Gunners!
Oh, wait, Kev, I'm going to have you do that again. I forgot. Got to mention our sponsor.
Oh, yeah, of course. And listen, I wouldn't mind that, you know.
I'm going to go in on this, although
I can't. I'm going to go in on that.
Patrick Vieira signed for him, Arsenal shirt. I love the montage in the back. Look at him holding the Premier League there. Oh, my goodness. The last captain to lift the Premier League, no? Patrick Vieira?
Yep. And you know what? Do you know what they miss off of these things? The invincible one. I want to see the gold one.
The gold one.
Yeah. I want to see a picture with the gold one. That means everything.
We will have our guy Bill look into that, especially because you, as your Marawa said here, when a legend speaks, we listen. So, Kev, once again.
So they're listening to yourself.
Tell the kids.
Listen, Arsenal Olympiacos, you know it's got to be always Arsenal. Come on, you Gunners.